Well, it's good to be back with you. Thank you for having us. My wife spoke glowingly about the conference yesterday and also about the ministry. It was good. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to be starting at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he, the Lord Jesus, saith unto them, the disciples, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship or boat, and there was also with them other little ships or boats. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder parts, the aft of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he saith unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and saith one to the other, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, bless your word, we pray. You know each of us better than we even know ourselves. You know the things that wrestle around within us, good and bad things that affect our lives, and you know the burdens that we carry and the joys that we relish. And we just pray, Father, that your Spirit would be our teacher this morning. Don't let me get in the way. And we pray that you would just supernaturally move not just the words, but the intents of these passages from these pages into our hearts and minds. Help us, Father, to take them in, be doers of the word and not hearers only, we pray. In Jesus' name. Well, we're going to be talking this morning a little bit about hope and encouragement from the Lord. And in this case today, when you're overwhelmed. This is kind of carrying on. If you remember it like it was yesterday, this is really the third or fourth little message in this kind of a little mini-series. We looked at hope and encouragement from the Lord when you're discouraged. We looked at the two on the Emmaus Road going back after the crucifixion of the Lord, and they're down and discouraged, and the Lord came alongside them, and they didn't recognize him. And talked a lot in that passage about how the Lord is always with us. One of the great theologies of Scripture is the permanent presence of the Lord. He's always with us. Like those disciples, we may not see him. We may not recognize him. He may come in the form of you when you visit a shut-in or someone in the hospital. But it's the Lord that's behind these things. He's always there. He's always encouraging. And they get to the house, you know, and he made as though he would have gone farther. He's a perfect gentleman, you know. He never pushes himself on anyone. And then after he goes through the scriptures with them, and he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. I think of that every Lord's Day when we break the bread. And I think, wouldn't it be great if when whoever breaks that bread, if we saw him, we recognized him. And he disappeared, just like the Lord. And then, of course, they said, remember how he talked to us on the way and how our hearts burned within us as he opened the scriptures to us? That's the Lord. He's ever present with us, even when we're discouraged. And then we went to the upper room and we saw them troubled and how he encouraged the disciples in the very night in which he was betrayed. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One day, he's coming back. I hope he comes back while I'm alive, and we hear the trump and the shout, the voice of the archangel, poof, and up we'll be, right? No glasses. No, we do every Sunday we do a gospel meeting in a nursing home at home. And I tell you, it's not a, Angie does our piano for us, and it's not an easy ministry, you know. They become like your family, and you go in next Sunday and the bed is empty. And they're gone. We've seen a lot of them get saved. Mimi, a little French lady, 104 years old, came to Christ. I'd rather go with a shout. Right? I'd rather go with a shout. But it may not be that way. And the great thing for the believer is we know that when it's our time, that he's right there. He's right there. The scripture says, those that sleep in Christ. And my understanding is that if you look at the translation of the words in there, it's like a mother rocking her child to sleep. Those that are rocked to sleep in Christ. And the Lord was their encouragement and their hope, even in that time of troubledness in the upper room. And then today we're going to look at hope and encouragement from the Lord when we're overwhelmed. We're going down to the lake, a place that I like, going out on a boat, something that I enjoy. And the Lord Jesus, he was kind of a sailor at heart, I think. He liked to be around the lake. If you go to Israel, one of the great remembrances I have, you can maybe see what you think, but it's a time of surprises. You read the scriptures and you have in your mind a picture of what all of these places and things are like, and then when you go, it's like, oh, it's not like that at all. And I had pictured the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord gets in a boat and he goes from here to there, and the people follow him, and I think, how did they ever find him? Well, that lake is just a little lake. You can see across it. You know, he gets in a boat, he goes over there, they can see him going over there, you know. So they just go around the lake and meet him. But it puts a new face on it all. And so we're down by the lake again. And there are always these things in our lives, I don't know about you, but in my life anyway, that can be overwhelming. Things that are bigger than us. Things that are more powerful than us. We think of ourselves as 6 feet of clay that can take on the world, but then some little thing will come along and put us on our knees. And it's easy to become overwhelmed. And those are the times when you really need the closeness of the Lord. Not just a profession, I'm a believer, I trust the Lord, but I mean when you really, really trust the Lord. Let's digress just a little bit. Hold your finger here because we'll come right back. But turn over to Matthew chapter 7 for a minute. This is one of my favorite passages. Somebody said to me, Bobby said, I think that your favorite passage is whatever one you happen to be in at the time. And that's kind of true. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's been teaching the disciples about the kingdom life and the kingdom. And here at the end, starting in about verse 12, he gives them cautions for end times living. He warns them about two paths. Be careful. Be careful. There's a broad way, and it's the wrong way, and many there are that are on that way. You want the narrow path, and it's a small gate and a narrow path, and it's a hard way. False paths. And then he warns them about false prophets, and you'll know them by their fruits, and we got a lot of them these days. Then he warns them, I think the most scary passage in Scripture, starting in verse 21, about false professions. Many there'll be in that day that'll say, Lord, Lord, haven't I done all of this stuff? And I think with tears in his eyes, the Lord will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. These are people at the gate of heaven thinking they're going in, and they're not saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. It's not just a matter of going to church. It's not just a matter of reading your Bible. It's not just a matter of the Roman road and praying a prayer, and nobody's saved by a prayer. Nobody's saved by going forward. You're saved by trusting, believing, pistuo, having faith. It means to be convinced of something and thence able to put your trust and confidence in that person, place, or thing. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so you hear the Word of God, it starts making sense to you, and you pistuo, you put your confidence in it. And it says that you put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll go to heaven. I prayed a prayer when I got saved in an attic in a farmhouse in Potter County, Pennsylvania, hunting deer. And I prayed a prayer. My wife didn't pray a prayer. Sitting in chapel one day, and she said it just dawned on her that she was the sinner that Jesus died for. She got saved that day. It's not, you don't get saved by a prayer. You don't get saved by the Roman road. Or you get saved by entrusting your eternal destiny to a person. The person of Jesus Christ. I hope that everybody here has done that. I led a young lady to the Lord, who I did some little witnessing seminars around the country, different places, and two of those, one a young lady that had gone through Bob Jones University and couldn't give her testimony. And she got saved in that little seminar. Another one had gone through, that's Jerry Falwell's, Liberty University. Couldn't give her testimony. And she got saved in that little seminar. You can sit in church all your life and die and go to hell. These people in this passage, Lord, Lord, they really believed they were going to heaven. And they didn't get in. It's too late. Can't go back. Well, anyway, and then notice verse 24, it starts out with therefore. And of course, as we've said before, anytime you see a therefore, you ought to wonder what it's there for, right? It's a follow-on. Because there are false paths, and there's false prophets, and there's false professions, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man that built his house on a rock. It's a great gospel passage, and I've used it for that a lot of times, but that's not the context, is it? The context of this passage is obedience, right? The person who hears his sayings and does them. I'll tell you what he's like. He's like a wise person. And this guy built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not. What's the difference in the two people? They both heard, right? They both built houses. But one didn't do what he heard. You'll hear a lot these days, people will say, oh, you're being awful legalistic. It's not legalistic, it's obedience, right? Legalism is when you divine methods of getting to heaven, where you work your way to heaven, and you got to do this to get to heaven, you got to do that to get to heaven. That's legalism. This is obedience. And my Bible says, the person who's a wise person doesn't just hear the word, but he does it, right? And when you build your house through hearing and doing, you're building on a rock, a solid foundation of obedience to God's word. You want your life to be a good life. You want your life to be a solid life. You want your life to stand when the storms come. Build your house the way God says to build it. If he tells you to wear white shrimper boots to chapel, I'd go out and get me a pair of white shrimper boots, you know? He doesn't tell us to do that. But he gives us good advice on how we should live our lives. And I see homes and families and marriages all the time that are falling apart, and it always goes back to not living out God's word. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew. Notice the three things he gives. Rains come down. There's things that are bigger than us that descend on us. And we can't handle it because our house is built on the sand. Or the winds blow. Things, storms of change, blow through. Have you ever had something like that? I've had that lots of times. Something blows through your life. You say, where did that come from? And it just catches you by surprise. I never expected that. It's like a wind blowing through. Or the flood's coming up. You know, all of a sudden you're sitting in your car and a fear comes over you. It's just like something that rises up from underneath, like a flood. I think it's interesting the examples he gives us. In the foolish man's house, his life is in wreck and ruin. Why? Because it wasn't founded on the rock of obedience to God's word. Nothing more important after being saved than knowing what the word says and doing it. Right? Doing it. Well, back to Mark here. The Lord Jesus is down by the sea. Actually, he's been just north of Magadan. It's the town where Mary of Magdala came from. And he goes to Capernaum, Capernaum, the home of Nahum, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law and the centurion's servant. And then from there, he goes down by the side of the Sea of Galilee. So this is just above Tiberias, Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias, about midway north to south on the western side is Tiberias. And then going up from Tiberias, you go to Magadan and Gennesaret and then Capernaum. Bethsaida is across the Jordan River over on the eastern side at the top. And so he finishes at Capernaum, and he goes down by the sea. And that's where this picks up in verse 35. That same day, when all of this has been going, it's been a big day. And when the evening was come, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Let me ask you a few questions. Where are they going? To the other side, right? Who's going? Us, right? They. The Lord Jesus and his disciples are going where? To the other side. Okay. It's his word, right? It's his will, right? He said it. And if he said it, they can do it, right? Okay, now that should be what's anchored in their little gourds, right? Let us go over unto the other side. So where are they going? To the other side. Jesus and his disciples, the whole boatload, right? They're going to go to the other side. And when they had sent away, verse 36, the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. So here we've got this little community of fishing boats. Most of them have a sail, but they can also row them. And they have a steering board that hangs usually over the right-hand side at the back that they steer with. And they can either row it or they can sail it. And so the Lord is in one, and his disciples are in that boat with him. And then there's these other little boats. Where do they want to go? With them, right? What's the difference between their boat and these other boats? Jesus. The only thing missing from the other boats is there's only one boat with Jesus in it, right? I think it's a good example of life, isn't it? You never hear of these other boats again. There's only one boat that gets to the other side, and it's the boat with Jesus in it. Good picture of life, isn't it? There's lots of boats out here. Lots of little people. And they're hoping to get from this shore to that shore. They're only going to get there if they've got the Lord Jesus in their boat, so to speak. See the analogy? It's very important. And you never hear of these other boats again. So, the Lord is in this boat. Other boats with them. They want to go to the other side. And so, off they go in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it is now full. I think it's an interesting thing. Each account, and there may be an exception. If you find an exception, let me know. But every time they describe these storms, it always talks about the wind and the waves. Now, I don't know why. I don't know. My suspicion is, my thinking is, that wind is something that affects us, but we don't see it. Waves are something that we see and affects us. And as we, in our little boat, go through this life, we have opposition. We get into storms that affect us. Sometimes it's things that we can see. They're really obvious. It's opposition that is in our face. Other times it's opposition that we don't even see. But it does affect us. And so as they go, this great storm arises. It has opposition to them that they can see and opposition to them that they can't see. And it beat into the little ship so that it was now full. The wooden boats, even the full wooden boat floats. I think I've told you before, historic, I don't know if it's true in this case or not. There's one example that would tend to indicate that it's not, but I could explain that away. But typically, old-time sailors didn't learn to swim because their superstitiousness said, if I know how to swim, the great God will sink my ship. But if none of us know how to swim, the great God won't sink the ship because it means killing all of us because we can't swim. So superstitiously, they didn't want to learn how to swim. I don't know if that's the case here or not. But nonetheless, the boat is full. If you could swim and your boat was full, you'd be afraid. But, verse 38, the Lord Jesus was in the hinder parts. He was in the stern of the boat, and he was asleep. You know, it's not good enough just to say that he was asleep, right? He was asleep on a pillow. You can see the terror that the Lord Jesus is suffering with here in this great storm. The boat is full of water. It's a raging storm. I don't know if you've ever been at sea in a storm, but it's a fearful thing. The ocean is something that's way beyond us. And when it's howling and beating, it's a bad thing. And the Lord Jesus is just scared to death, right? I mean, to the point where he's asleep on a pillow. He's not, why is he not worried? Huh? knows they're going to the other side, right? He told them they're going to go to the other side. We're going to go over to the other side. So what is there to be concerned about? The God of the universe just said we're going to go to the other side. I guess we're going to carry some water with us in our boat. He was asleep on a pillow. And so they waked him. I don't know what went through the Lord's mind when that happened, but disturbed a good night's sleep. He wasn't concerned. He knew where they were going. They woke him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Can you think of another case where someone thought the Lord didn't care? Remember Martha and Mary? Right? They're having this great dinner and they go to all this preparation for the Lord. The Lord's coming. We're going to have a great meal. And Martha is cumbered about much serving. I'm sure there was some of that went on yesterday. It was easy. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Mary, she was in the other room sitting at the Lord's feet, just soaking it up. Just soaking it up. And Martha came to the Lord and said, Lord, carest thou not? And the Lord's response was, Martha, Martha, cumbered about many things. But Mary, she's chosen the better part. Right? There's always time for service, but how much better just to spend time with the Lord? We're going to look a little bit more at that tonight. Carest thou not that we perish? They were just told they're going to go to the other side. What are they not doing? Trusting, right? You and I are on a great voyage too, aren't we? From birth to salvation, and then from salvation to total sanctification. And the Lord has promised you and promised me that we're going to the other side. He hasn't promised us that it's going to be trouble-free. Here's a group of people. They're believers. They're obedient believers. They're doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. They're following His will and they're following His word. Exactly what He told them to do. Did it keep them out of the storm? Why do you suppose the Lord allows suffering to come into believers' lives? You would think when we got saved that it would just be an easy go from there on, don't you think? We wouldn't have any troubles because we're the Lord's. It would just be like a dog paddle on a clean pond, you know? I'm on my way to heaven. Here we go. Isn't this fun, guys? We're going to heaven. No troubles, no opposition, no fears, no any of that. Why do you suppose the Lord lets this happen? Well, I think one thing is people are watching. And it would be easy for them to say, like to Job, well, easy for you to be a believer, right? Nothing ever happens to you. The devil says, he only loves you because you take such good care of him. Oh, well, let's see what happens when we don't. And the testimony of Job was in the trials, wasn't it? And the testimony for you and me is in the storms, when the boat is full. And tell you what, when some sailboats, I'm a sailor, you know, and there are self-bailing boats that have a little scupper in the back, and as the water gets in the boat, it just runs out the back, self-bailing. And then there are boats that are not self-bailing. And when you tip a self-bailing boat over, you right it, and the water just runs out the back, and you're back underway again. A non-self-righting boat, you tip it over, and it's full right up to the gunwales, to the little strip of wood that goes around the edge. It's full. And, of course, you know, they say the best bilge pump in the world is a frightened sailor with a bucket. And that's true. And so you get your little bucket and you sit in your full of boat and start bailing the water out of the boat until it's empty, and then off you go. But if you're in a storm, a full boat's a scary place. And they're in a full boat. I don't know about you, but most of us, at some point in your life, will have a trial where you say to yourself, you know, my boat is just full. I don't think I could take another drop in my boat. I don't think I could handle another moment of trial. And just remember that the Lord is in that boat with you, and he's asleep on a pillow. Because he knows you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Because we don't make it by us, do we? We don't get through it by our own power and our own strength. Faith is a big help, but it's not even our faith that gets us through it. It's our faith in him that gets us through it. And when the boat is full, and the sea rages, and the wind blows, and it's howling, you have to have confidence that in that boat with you is the Lord Jesus. And he's not troubled by this. The worst thing in the world that can happen to you is that you die in this world. And then you're in heaven. That's a win-win deal, right? Now, I don't want to get hit by a Mack truck. I don't want to get run over by a Greyhound bus. Right? I'd like my death to be easy. You know, I just go to sleep at night. I wake up in heaven. Oh, wonderful. I died last night. That's how I'd like it to be. He doesn't promise that that's going to be the case. Right. We were joking with Mike. We had a men's afternoon the other day. I'll digress a minute. But he had a heart attack. He almost died. And so he crawled out of the attic and went outside and thought, well, he'd lay down a little bit. And so he laid down in the grass, and he remembered that somebody said, when something is wrong, you raise the head. When something else is wrong, you raise the feet. I don't know. But he assumed that it was a foot-raising situation that he was in. So there was a little bench in this woman's backyard where he was fixing the air conditioner. And so he laid down on the grass and put his feet up on this bench, put his hands behind his head, and he just kind of laid there and chilled. We said, how would it be if you had died, right? And a woman comes home and finds this dead man in her yard with his feet propped up and his hand behind his head. Well, anyway. Anyway. I don't know. I don't want to die going under a Mack truck. I'd like it to be slow and easy, but it might be. We don't know. But I'm convinced that however it is, that in that passing, you will be rocked to sleep in the arms of the Lord Jesus. And no matter how horrible humanly it may appear, I think within us we'll be at perfect peace because we're in the arms of the Lord Jesus and he is at total peace. He's on a pillow in the midst of the storm. Doesn't bother him at all. And you and I are in his care, in his arms. And verse 39, he arises and he rebukes the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. He has control over the seen and the unseen. He's got control over every circumstance of life, everything that we ever go through, every situation that we're ever in. He has control of it. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Notice there was a great storm, and now there's a great calm. In verse 40, and he said to them, why are you so fearful? What are you afraid of? Where did I say we were going to go? Didn't I tell you we were going to the other side? I'm in the boat. Am I afraid? Don't be afraid. Why are you so fearful? And number two, how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. It's funny. They were afraid of the storm, but they were exceedingly fearful of the one who's calmed the storm. Isn't that an oxymoron, kind of? Because now they see the power of one individual over natural elements. This has got to be God. God in flesh is in their boat with them. These are just fishermen, ordinary people. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this?" That's the kind of a Savior we have. He died and yet was alive. He was buried and yet he was in heaven. He could go through walls. He could disguise his appearance. He could appear and disappear. He can control the elements. And he can control your life and my life. He has total authority. Our only thing is just to let him, right? Just to let him. I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of a guy that always wants to get control of it, you know. It looks like it's getting out of control, and so I want to grab onto it. The Lord just says, listen, just let it go. Let it go. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, let it go. He will come through in the end. He's always with you. He's right by your side. He's in the boat. In verse 1 of chapter 5, and they came over to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes. One of the other gospels that said, and immediately they were at their destination. That's the kind of a God we have. Hope and encouragement when we're overwhelmed from the Lord. Father, bless your word. What a Savior we have. Your lovely Son loved us, left the glories and the wonders of heaven to come to this perverted world and walk the dirty streets and live in the dirty houses and put up with the dirty people because he loved us. And then allow his creatures to hang him on a cross, to spit on him and pull his hair out, beat him, never raised his voice, never opposed them. And in the end he died and was buried so that he could rise again the third day and give us life. What kind of a man is this? Well, he's the God-man. And Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for your word and the encouragement that it brings us. And we ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name.